Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Oz.
Welcome. Thank you for joining me. We talk about eyes and all kinds of interesting things, and many of the times I select the subjects, most of the time, in fact, but occasionally I want to share some of my emails and literature that come my way. And I don't know if you like your job, I love mine. I am constantly bombarded by emails, whether from this show or from my practice, and there's every week at least three articles that have something to do about eyes. And that's not just the ophthalmic literature. It's the regular stuff. So I feel the need to share some of this with you folks because they're hidden little secrets that may or may not be of value to someday. I read an article about Ebola and how it is being at least washed out and treated and overcome in places like Guinea and in other places slowly eradicated. But not only can Ebola hide as a virus in people who have theoretically recovered, but other viruses are very similar. Especially in this country, in the United States, it's Lyme disease, but it can also be herpes. So viruses have this ability to play dead like a possum. In certain parts of the body, namely the eye, the testes, and the central nervous system, are immunologically privileged. That means that our T cells and our anti-inflammatory proteins that will attack pathogens or dying cells are not available to know the eye and the testes and central nervous system can have an issue. So only when something goes wrong in those areas does it get stirred up and we have a massive anti-inflammatory effect. So the virus in Ebola can invade these sites, but we'll talk about the eye for the moment. And our immunological system can go haywire and give inflammation. So a reported study about people that presented with a little bit of a red eye and a constricted pupil were having actual inflammation inside their eye. And it was like a latent effect of the virus, which could even be dead virus causing the reaction because the virus coating or protein elicits that reaction. And since the eye is a closed bag of water, it's pretty hard to wash all that stuff out easily, especially after you attack it with white blood cells, proteins that bind the material. So if after a cold, if after a herpes on the lip, if after a tick bite, or even without anything, if you develop an iritis, a mild inflammation in the eye instead of outside the eye, think of having an eye exam because it could be connected. Again, you need to be the medical detective. Then there was a great article in the New York Times by Jane Brody on 12/29 of the last year called Good Posture, Better Brain, and Better Vision. Well, it wasn't quite that. It was about good posture. I'm just elongating. And some of the specifics were poor posture can have effects that radiate throughout our entire body, causing back pain, neck pain, muscle fatigue, believe it or not, breathing limitations, joint disorders, digestive problems, and mood disturbances. When our body's slow, we overcorrect with certain muscles. So if we tilt forward all the time, the back muscles to try and keep us up sort of freeze in place. This can result in chronic fatigue and discomfort and a contraction of those muscles. So it continues to enhance that position and even embed it in your mind that that is your usual position. So repetition and prolongation of ill postures trains the body to form and put undue stress on joints and bones. So it may start in your back, may start in your posture, but your knees and hips may be the ones to suffer over the years. Early human beings, of course, ran around, walked, hunted, at least 75% of the time. But what they didn't do was sit on chairs in front of a computer all day long. We do that much more. Perhaps 75% of our working day is sitting there in a situation where we're looking down, contracting the Achilles tendon, changing the back posture, and developing something called text neck. We're looking down. Especially if you wear bifocals and you're a codger like me, you know, you're always looking down. For instance, if you're on an airplane and you're taking a nice long flight with a good book and you're looking through your bifocal, you're always in that downward position. Even if you had a full reading lens and held the book up, your arms could be tired. So you may want to use the tray as a way of keeping the posture straight ahead, and this way enabling better neck position, and when you get off the plane, you're feeling better. So leaning forward does more than just the back. It compresses the neck. It compresses the chest, the lungs, so you're getting a little less oxygen. It constricts the abdomen because you're sort of leaning forward like an accordion. And it interrupts digestion. Reducing peristaltic action affects digestion and, believe it or not, may affect your mood as well. So the neck, the chest, the back, the abdomen are all affected by our posture. And ultimately, our balance and our vision are affected. Well, you could say the vision may be affected because of balance, etc. But what happens is, as you tilt forward, most people don't walk around tilting backwards, they fall backwards. If you tilt forward, you're changing your gait, but you're also changing how your eyes see the peripheral vision. What happens is you're not getting the superior part of your vision. You're looking down. It's kind of like the donkey and the camel. The donkey walks around with his head face down, looking at each step to watch out for himself. The camel looks at the distance to know where he's going. Now, sometimes we need each, but the fact is we don't want to be the donkey. So all of this affects our balance and our vision. There was an article on exercise in the brain by Gretchen Reynolds, also in the December 29th New York Times. It was an amazing year for scientific studies that demonstrated the connection between brain health and the eye. Japanese researchers found that older men who exercised had less brain shrinkage. Aerobic exercise, weight training, sturdy leg muscles all contributed, and that older men and women have less white matter deposits in their brain. Study of identical twins after 10 years showed that exercise had less brain shrinkage. So same story, identical genetics, less brain shrinkage. So scientists are coming around to showing that telomeres, the end of your chromosomes, can be extended by exercise, weightlifting, even outdoor work such as gardening. Also remember that vitamin D and DHA are similarly helpful. Michael Fossil, in his new book on the telomerase revolution, talked about telomere activators that can actually help you. In fact, one of these activators is astragalus, and my colleague Alan Tillotson will be talking about that in the next segment. Also, curcumin and other Ayurvedic herbs are extremely important in helping your telomeres. So those little things are helpful for avoiding chronic disease and brain shrinkage. If you're going to live, you might as well live right. Rather important, don't you think? At any rate, I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any segment, stay tuned and change and look at my show page on RadioMD.com.